If you need a Japanese translation of this, Vitellio himself translated this. So if you're a Japanese native and you're like, hey, this sounds kind of funny, you know, it's because he did it. And he just learned Japanese, I don't know, 3 years ago, and he's translating.
Not 3 years ago.
How long ago?
Since 2008.
Since 2000, excuse me. 9 years ago, okay. So I've been Japanese all my life, and he's only been Japanese for 9 years, and he's already translating stuff. That's amazing, Vitellio. Anyway, Vitellio.
Good morning, everyone. Can everybody hear me? Minasan, kikoemasuka? So this is dedicated, just want to encourage everyone today, if you have a dream and you have a passion, to never give up on your dream. No one has the right to tell you what you can't do. And with men, things may be impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. So I guess when I was a little kid, my dream was to become a doctor one day. And my friends in high school knew about my dream. And, when I graduated high school, all of them got around me, and then they said three things to me. And they said, one, never forget where I came from. And two, always make everybody proud. And three, come back to San Jose, because I grew up in San Jose, California, the Bay Area. And come back to San Jose and not only help our community as a friend and mentor, but as a doctor one day, help our high school. Because my high school was very underprivileged. And so with that blessing, many of them were not going to go to college because of the lack of resources. But I was very fortunate that I did, and then they were counting on me. So then I went to college. My family and I then moved to San Diego because that's where I went, to UC San Diego. And it was very, very challenging. I thought I was ready for the college curriculum, but it turns out that I failed my chemistry placement test. And then that kind of led me to think, what were those grades in high school? What do they mean? I thought I knew. My grades were really great in high school, but apparently it doesn't mean anything. And so in the very first 10 minutes of college, the professor in chemistry was teaching us several things, and then he stops and he turns around and he looks at everybody and he said, wow, there's 400 people in this classroom. How many are interested in medical school? Well, everybody raised their hand. And then he said, well, he's laughing. And he says, you know what, can you imagine if everybody in this room got accepted to medical school? That is about 75% of all the spots that are available in all the California medical schools. Which is not true, but people like to discourage people. And so then he said, well, you're not only competing with general chemistry 8 in the morning, but 9, 10, 11 in the morning, and all of the rest of the chemistry classes at UCSD and UCLA, UC Berkeley, Irvine, pretty much everybody. And not only California, but throughout the United States. So to every one of you, good luck. And then he turns around and he's laughing. So anyway, people who are interested in medical school, they're called pre-meds. They're already paranoid as it is, and very afraid. Now, can you imagine the first 10 minutes of college, somebody tell you something like that? Oh, it makes it worse. And anyway, it was, it was a very challenging time, my college experience. And I remember when I was a junior in college, I actually went to one of my professors to give him I asked him for a letter of recommendation for a future medical school application. And then initially he said yes, but then he looked at my transcript or my grades. And my grades weren't bad, they were pretty good, but for medical school you need to be really, really high. And then anyway, he looks at my transcript and he says, I've written letters of recommendation to stellar students. I'm talking 3.5 GPA and 35 on the MCAT. And MCAT is the medical school admission test. And 35 is amazing. And he said, and yet these gifted students who I wrote a great letter, they never got into medical school. So what make you know you have you know no you don't have this GPA and you haven't even taken your test yet. So what makes you think you're going to get to med school? Well, I just got my paper and just left his office, but in my heart I said, you know, I have a promise to keep to my friends in high school. That when I left high school that I was going to come back to San Jose and help our community and our high school. That was a promise of a lifetime. And most importantly, with God all things are possible. I mean, Pharaoh thought that he was God and he was, you know, he knew everything, but Moses, a humble man, just went with his rod and stick and told him, you know, sit down, I'll teach you who's boss. So even though I said this wonderful thing in my heart, I'm not going to lie, it was very, very painful. I went home very sad because the theme of college was everybody was discouraging everybody. Not only faculty, but students as well. And, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. And, if you get a C, that's it. You're not going to med school. Anyway, the next quarter, which was the beginning of my senior year, it was like my worst academic quarter. Because I was taking super hard classes and just, I didn't get it. So then I really felt I was like in my last strike, if you will. I didn't know if I was going to make it. So then I went to this academic center at UCSD where I had an advisor who was really good friends with me. And I asked him, you know, I think I might not make it. This is the first time in my whole life where I think that my dream, I mean, I might not make it. And I never gave up, never given up in my life, but I'm beginning to really wonder. And then he looks at me and he says, you know, he writes a name, he says, I want you to talk to this lady. Her name is Sandra Kirk. She's at the UCSD School of Medicine. I think she may be able to help. So I made an appointment with Sandra. I didn't know who she was. I guess I'll just go in blind. But little did I know that she's actually super mean and like people are afraid of her. But I didn't know this. So I just went, okay, let's go talk to Sandra. So then when I met Sandra, then the first thing that she said was not, let me look at your grades. The first thing she said was, tell me the road that you have traveled. So I think for the first time in my life, I actually told somebody my life story. And I began by saying, I was born 3.5 months early. So my mom was, you know, pregnant with me for 23 and a half weeks. I was like this big when I was born. And I weighed 1 kilogram, so that's like 2 pounds. And I was born not in a fancy hospital, it was a third world country of El Salvador in the middle of a war. And then anyway, then how my parents had to escape the war, and we were the only ones from a big family who could come to the United States. And then growing up in San Jose and adjusting to life in the United States and then going to college, and it was very difficult. And anyway, Sandra was already crying. And it was like an hour, right? It was an hour story. And then after, then she says, Vitelio, remember this day. It was January 19th, 2006. It was around 5 p.m. And she says, remember this day, for I guarantee that you will enter medical school one day. I know you have a lot of regret, and I know college has been tough, but it doesn't matter. What is done, and we will work together and make your dream come true. I guarantee it. And that made me almost cry because that was the first time in my whole college career that anybody ever said anything nice. And then she said, let me look at your grades. And I said, no, I mean, it's okay. I got what I needed. And so, anyway, I showed her my grades and she says, not bad. You know, for you to have, at that time, my grade with GPA was 2.0. She's like, for you to have a 3.0 at this extremely difficult college, and everything you had to overcome, and for you to have this GPA, I don't know if you've heard about this, but I am so proud of you. We'll make your dream come true. So anyway, then I left home and I was like super, super, you know, happy and filled with, for the first time, with joy and also with hope. And about 2 weeks later, I then went to my microbiology test And I always studied hard, but for some reason, you know, in that test, I thought I was not going to make, I was not going to, you need an A. And then all your classes together, high school, you kind of need an A. And I thought, ah, oh, man, I don't think, it was, hasn't happened. So then I got like, really, I got kind of down. And then as they were passing the test, I closed my eyes. And when I closed my eyes and something came over me, I felt this feeling before, but not to this intensity. And it was a feeling where I was wondering, why did I meet Sandra? What purpose? And then I felt like a sense of tremendous fighting spirit that anything is possible. And I looked at my test when I had it in front of me and I said, I'm going to do this. And well, when I went home that day after, you know, that test, maybe like a few hours later, I got my grade, I found out I got an A. And then I thought, so that was the Holy Spirit then, without a doubt. Because it discerned, like, not only peace, but it discerned, like a tremendous fighting spirit came over me. I always had it, but this was way, way more powerful. Anyway, that quarter, I got all A's in my classes. Because every time I would pray, every time I get a test, I would always pray a heartfelt prayer, asking for God for His power. And then at the end of that quarter, I then went to, because the UCSD, they were quarter system, not semester. So then after the quarter, then I went to see Sandra, and then I told her about the great news. And then she asked me, hey, you know, have you ever heard about a post-bac program? And I thought, what's a post-bac program? Said, well, you know, this is a program that's designed to help students who come from minority backgrounds, underprivileged, you know, communities, who college was difficult, but they never gave up their dream to become a doctor to help the poor one day. That's what this program is for. I think this is great for you, because you have the same interests. You should apply. So then I looked at it and I thought, well, the deadline is only 5 days away. There's no way I can apply. You need a letter of recommendation. You need, you write an essay, it's complicated. But I told her, you know, is there a way that I can just meet this person who designed this wonderful program that gives students this, I guess, second chance? Can I at least go talk to this lady or this person? And then she kind of does like this and she's like, you're speaking to that person right now. And then, oh my goodness, I mean, my jaw went on the floor. And she said, well, who do you think I was all this time? I don't know, just a friend. Because we were talking for from January when we met to April at this time, for 3 months, almost always, email. Like, 2 pages email. And then she sent me 2-page email, too. And I thought, who is this lady? She has all the time in the world for me. And then she said, so, Lieutenant, do you want to be in this program, yes or no? And I said, don't I need an interview or, you know, something like that? I'll try to make excuses. And he's like, well, you know those emails that you sent me for 3 months? I was very impressed. So you want to be in this program? Yes or no? Now, this is a program where 500 people apply from all over California, but also the United States, too, but mostly California. And 500 people are applying, there's only 6 spots. And I found favor in her eyes, the Lord's blessing. So then by being in this program, I then, you know, did improve my grades and did a lot of research and volunteer activities, even going back to my country of El Salvador and doing a medical mission trip, and also starting prison ministry, but that's a different story. And so then, during this program, I remember there was 2 classes. My immunology became one of my favorite classes, but this class, everybody's afraid of it. It's very difficult, very abstract. And I remember during the final exam, after after I do my heartfelt prayers asking for God's power, it's a 20-page test, 3 hours. And in the middle of that, in that test, I was having the time of my life. I was like, why 20 pages? Let's make it 40. Why 3 hours? Let's do 6. And I can imagine being on a test and having that kind of idea. That's God right there. And then the next one was cell bio. I mean, then I took other classes, but these are like the 2 highlights. In cell biology, everyone is dead afraid of that class. It was super hard. 400 people. And yet, during the first midterm, I got second highest grade in the class. And there's 400 people. Everybody's gunning for med school, right? Everybody's intense. And anyway, the greatest power, I guess, that I want to say that when God really, really did something supernatural was when I was studying for my medical school admission test. You know that test that one doctor said, oh, you haven't taken a test yet? Well, now it's time. This was not, my test day was January 25th, 2008. I'm very good with dates. And I remember that 3 months before the test, I went through a very difficult personal time. That, can you imagine studying for a test that's so hard? You need your full concentration, but yet, you know, I had a broken heart and a shattered mind. So it made studying that much harder. And I'm taking this test, and in the first section, there's four sections. One is physical sciences, so physics and chemistry. The second one is reading comprehension. The third one is writing. And then the fourth one is science, biological science, so that's like biology and organic chemistry. And the first section, I thought I did terrible. I don't know why, but I just thought I did terrible. But the second section, the reading, which is always my weakest, I knew I did more. I knew I failed. And in the middle of that test, before the third section, we have a 5-minute break. And that's when I closed my eyes, and I just got really, really sad because I thought that I failed. I have to take this test again. But this test is so hard, like it takes months to prepare. And I thought I let everybody down. And then also because my feelings of like sadness were really intense. And so I almost started to cry because it was very overwhelming. And when I closed my eyes, I heard, I'm not crazy, but I heard voices. And these are voices of people falling like in a dark pit. And everybody was saying, help me. It was a collective voice. Help me, help me, help us. And then I thought, wait, somebody needs to help these people. Like, they're falling. And then that's when I think for the first, I mean, God always knows our hearts, but I think for the first time, that's when I actually really did tell the Lord exactly what I want to do in my life. And I was like, Lord, like at this moment, this pivotal moment of my life, I have always wanted to be the person who fights for those who don't have a voice. The person, the doctor who advocates for the poor and who are always oppressed. I want to be a hero to all these people, to be their watchful guardian. But I need your help right now more than ever before. And in my heart, I felt I was hemorrhaging after that last section. And I felt, like literally, I felt that somebody just closed the wound. No more bleeding. And then I heard, get up. And then I like the fighting spirit came back again. And then the last thing, before I opened my eyes, I had a vision of my dad. And then my dad says, I'm proud of you, my son. Do your best. And then I thought, okay, let's do it. So all this happened in 3 minutes. I still had 2 minutes left. But I didn't care about the other 2 minutes. Let's just start the next section. And then that next section was the writing section. And I looked at the essay, and it says, talk about aging. What are the scientific ethics involved with aging? What if people find the cure the elixir of life? There's a lot of research about aging. But the question is, how do you feel about aging? Like the research behind aging. And the day before my test, the last TV show I watched was a Science Channel. I always watch Science Channel. There was a Science Channel program about aging. And there was a very famous astrophysics professor named Michio Kaku, who is Japanese, And this was during my parents, when we watched it, they were like, hey, there's a Japanese professor, you know, you're going to start Japanese next quarter, so, you know, this is a good sign for you. That's what my parents said. Well, that was God giving me the answer for that question. So when I got that essay question, I said, oh, wow. So I have to remember everything that Michio Kaku said and write it down. And well, anyway, in the next section, I finished it, and I thought I did okay. But when I got my score, my test, 1 month later, I found out that the first section, which I thought I failed, I did excellent. That was God carrying me, even though I felt I did terrible. But that second section, oh no, it was terrible. It was awful. I mean, I completely bombed it. It was embarrassing. but the third section, the writing section, 99 percentile. This is people who take this test. There's, I don't know, 100,000 people who take this test. 99 percentile. That was God's power. And then the last section, you know, that was great also. So with that, then I applied to medical school and got Sandra's blessing with the application, and we worked on it together. And then I got a lot of interviews, which I never would have imagined when I was junior in college. But the most special one was the interview at Stanford, March 10th, 2009. And when I got in the interview room, I saw people from Harvard, people from Yale, people from Boston University, and in Ivy League school. Yeah. And I'm from UCSD, which is, you know, it's a good school, but it's not Ivy League. And then everybody would be so afraid, so intimidated by all these people. And then I said to myself, this is my chance to come back to the Bay Area, because Stanford is in the Bay Area, very close to San Jose. Come back to the Bay Area and fulfill my promise that I gave my high school friends. And this is the school that, since I was a little kid, that I dreamed of going, but I knew it was probably impossible to come. And that's what I pray, please, Lord, help me get to Stanford, because I would be able to fulfill so many promises. Well, 2 months later, May 15th, 2009, I did get that phone call from the dean of the medical school at Stanford. And he says, why don't you come join us next school year here at Stanford? And that was like one of the happiest days of my life. So I wanted to tell Sandra like the news, because before they accepted to Stanford, I was accepted to UCLA, and I was going to go to UCLA. But then I called UCLA and said I wasn't going to go there anymore. And Sandra found out about it. And she, when I called her up, she said, "Hey, I'm going to kill you. You said no to UCLA. This is the crown jewel of the medical school system in California. And you said no. We worked so hard for 3 years, and you blew it. What is wrong with you? You're lucky you're not here, because I would choke you." And then I said, "Well, Sandra, I got into Stanford." "Oh, wow, I can't believe it." And then, "Oh, forget UCLA." And then she said, "You are the first person in my 25-year program to ever make it to Stanford." And then I told her, well, because of that day on January 19th, 2006, instead of discouraging me, you encouraged me. Instead of putting me down, you uplifted me and you inspired me. And because of your help and the Lord's blessing, this day is possible. And so I think the day before medical school started, I was in the main quad and taking pictures of the campus. And it was really nostalgic, because this was the first time I was at Stanford without my parents. My parents were in San Diego. Now I'm by myself in the Bay Area. And I'm taking pictures of the beautiful campus and the church, the Memorial Church. And then I saw a family of three, mom, dad, and son. And then the family was taking pictures. Well, the kid was taking pictures. And I remember the kid said, "I wish I can come here one day." And that reminded me that when I was his age, I said the same exact thing. It's like I saw myself with that kid. He was an Indian family. But it was like so surreal that it was exactly almost like me, like all many years ago. And then in February 10th, 2009, we had the Stanford University Medical Minority Medical Alliance, which is a conference that is to inspire minority students to get to medical school. So this testimony that I'm giving, I said it to 1,000 people in that conference, but this was more spiritual. But of course, everybody who heard that the testimony at that time knew that the Lord's hand was guiding all this time. And I remember that conference. I went to that conference when I was in high school. So, and I remember when I went there as a high school student, there was a student who talked about how he came to the United States with nothing. He left his country of war, and how despite all the obstacles, he never gave up and he made it to Stanford Med School. And everybody was really touched by the story, but when he said he was from El Salvador, same country as me, I thought, so it's possible that a Latino can make it to Stanford? I didn't even know. I thought you needed to be rich or have connections. And so I did that same exact, I guess I followed in his footsteps, if you will. Just inspires other people, everybody. And so, finally, that promise to my high school friends, I did go back to my high school, and I made a mentorship program, and inspired first generation low income students, not only for college, but medical school also. All of them went to college, and many of them are applying to med school now. So the program did work, and that was, and I kept in touch with my friends in the Bay Area, and they were really proud that, you know, we made our high school a little bit better, because it's very underprivileged. So finally, I never would have imagined that things would have turned out the way they did, because going to college was, it felt like crossing the valley of death. And to get to med school was like moving a mountain. But in Psalm 23:4 it says, even though I walk through the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In Psalm 23:4. And Jesus said, for truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. I would never imagine that starting off in remedial chemistry, feeling very behind, because, you know, unfortunately, high school was not as good a preparation as other people who went to private schools when they go to college. So I had to work 3-4 times harder to catch up. But I never gave up, and the Lord was always there to support me. And because I had a really strong dream, and I asked with faith, this is Matthew 7:7, where it says, asking you shall receive. And I felt that when I was having a difficult time, God came through. And finally, for everybody, especially the young people, if you have a dream and you have a passion, I highly recommend you go for it. Don't let other people tell you what you can't do, because they have no right to tell you what you can't do. There always will be discouragement. There always will be put downs. But you keep charging ahead. Because if you put God as the center of your life, God will reward you with blessings that you would have never had imagined would be possible. And like I began by saying, with man things may be impossible, but with God nothing is impossible. And thank you for allowing me to share today. Thank you.